Power 93.7 WBLK. I'm Yasmin Young inside the 2 to 6 Takeover, joined by an amazing woman who is doing great work on our behalf right here in our county, which is Erie County. I'm talking about Dr. Gail Burstein, the commissioner of the Erie County Department of Health. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing as well as I can on a rainy day, but I am looking forward to these warmer temperatures that we seem to be getting. So I'll take it when I can get it.
That's true.
So let's talk about where we stand currently here in Erie County.
Well, yesterday we received reports of 91 new cases. And that brings us to a total of 3,315 COVID positive cases that we have confirmed among Erie County residents. So just to look at the big picture of this, so that's 3,315 out of a total of 15,219 tests that were performed on Erie County residents, as far as we know from the New York State Department of Health. So, you know, we've been, following the proportion of positive tests over since we've started testing. And so per the New York State Department of Health, overall, our proportion of positive PCR tests, or those are the nose swab tests, is 21% since the time that we've been starting to test people. But over the past 7 days, the good news is that what we see is that only about 18% of the people who were swabbed in Erie County had a positive test. So that means that we're trending down and hopefully in the right direction. So we're watching this closely. We're comparing it by day, and we're also looking at it by week. So as again, in the past week, 18% of our swab tests have been positive, and that's down. I remember earlier on in the epidemic, we were as high as about 23-24%. So that means we're heading in the right direction. That there are we believe that there is hopefully that means that there's a shrinking number of people that are infected in our community compared to earlier in epidemic. But those are the data that we have. And then unfortunately, just in terms of death, there were 7 more COVID-19 related deaths confirmed to us yesterday in Erie County. So we just want to reach out to the friends and family members of those that lost a loved one and relay our condolences. And so this brings the total death count from COVID-related causes to 254. So that's where we are right now.
Now, most counties here in Western New York are eligible for elective surgeries. Erie County is not. What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, this is a state decision, not a county decision. And so the state has designated certain criteria to allow hospitals in certain counties to perform elective procedures. And the feeling is that from the state that Erie County is not quite at the numbers that they would like to see for us to open up elective procedures. So however, on the good news is that we know that even though our hospitals aren't performing elective procedures, we know our hospitals are very, very safe places. We know our hospitals are testing all patients that come in for any reason for COVID, and they are doing a great job of isolating people who are their patients in the hospital who have COVID, even if they came in and they didn't have any symptoms and the reason they came in was completely unrelated to COVID. If they find that they have a positive test, you know, for very strong infection control, they are isolating them and moving them to a place of the hospital where there are other COVID positive patients and no other COVID negative patients, just to really control infection control and decrease the risk of transmission within the hospital. And then also the hospital healthcare staff are tested on routine basis, and again, the hospitals are really trying to be sure that there is no transmission transmission in the hospital. So if you're looking for a safe place to go, not to get exposed to COVID-19 because you think you're not exposed, the hospital is a safe place to go. That really is a safe place to go now. And I know that's contrary to what many people believe, but the hospitals are a safe place for people to go to avoid a COVID-19 infection and exposure of infection.
And speaking of safety, we're watching as many states around the country are reopening for business, and it might be a slower kind of phased in approach. How do we safely reopen businesses?
Well, again, the reopening of businesses is a decision at the governor's level. So he is going to look at the data and statewide, and then at different regions of the state, and then decide, looking at those data, when it would may be safe to slowly open up. So, I mean, this is going to be, a slow opening. It's not that we're going to wake up one morning and find, everything is back to normal and all businesses are open. Just like they were before we saw COVID-19 in our community. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be a very slow opening. And it's really, up to the governor's chamber, looking at data that we collect in Erie County to make that decision. So we know that as of now, New York pause is in effect in Erie County and the rest of New York State through May 15th. And we'll have to wait to see what the governor decides about extending that or allowing the areas in Erie County and around Western New York to slowly open up. So we have to, it's a wait and see approach. Unfortunately, we're not the deciders. The local counties are not the deciders about that. We have to take our orders from the governor's office.
Once the governor and the state have decided how we're going to actually reopen, should there be a phased approach when it comes to people? And people, by that, I mean people going back into society, where maybe the healthier people can go out more and people with underlying conditions maybe need to wait longer.
Yeah, that is a very effective strategy that actually some countries in Europe, like Sweden, are using for their strategy to contain the COVID-19. So this is called a mitigation strategy. So it's we know that we're going to have COVID-19 in our community, and so what we have to do is make sure that our most vulnerable, so that's our elderly, people who have other chronic conditions. That would and also that includes smokers who would make them more susceptible to severe illness and complications with COVID-19, have to be protected. So they have to be isolated from the rest of the people in the community. And then those individuals that don't have any conditions and are at a younger age where they may not be as much at risk of developing severe disease, those are the individuals that would have the opportunity to interact more in the community. And again, it's not going to be the same as pre-COVID-19 era. I mean, we still want to wear masks. We still want to stay at least 6 feet apart from other individuals. And we still want to make sure that we wash our hands and keep our environmental, our frequently touched surfaces clean, like doorknobs rails, countertops, tabletops, not sharing utensils or food at all. So, I mean, we have to continue doing that because that has been very helpful. But again, those who are the first to go out are in the community, and when businesses open up, should not be the people who are most likely to become ill if they are infected with COVID-19. So that's a very important strategy that we should consider. And so again, that would mean that people that are younger and otherwise well, like they should help their parents get groceries or run errands for their parents or make sure that their parents can get where they need, because if you have parents that are 60 and up, they just because of their age alone would make them more at risk of becoming ill. So as a community, we really have to work together together to protect those that are most vulnerable. And that would include, again, us keeping the general numbers down as much as we can. So that means that people who are going out, you know, they continue to wear masks because we know that's helpful. You know, continue the social distancing as much as we can, staying at least 6 feet away from other people when you can. I know there's some places like in a grocery store or if you go into a pharmacy or other places to buy essential items, you know, you might, run into somebody or, you know, pass close to somebody in the aisle. But, you know, again, as when you're going out for your social activities, no large gatherings, do as much as you can socially by using your electronics. So, Zoom, Snapchat, Instagram, using the phone, calling people. That's always fun. But you know, do as much as we can because we still have to persist with as much isolation interventions as much as we can. And even when the businesses do start to open up.
And once we get past that initial phased in opening and we've got a majority of businesses open, is that kind of a glimpse into our new normal? Will the social distancing be something that we do even with businesses open, continuing to wear masks? Can you kind of give us a glimpse of what our new normal might look like?
Yeah, our new normal is continuing to wear masks, is continuing to wash our hands as much as we can, you know, is continuing to social distance and thinking about, you know, other ways to get together with friends that isn't, you know, in person and physically close to other people. That's going to be our new normal until COVID-19 is a vaccine preventable disease. So until we have a vaccine and that hopefully is effective and safe, that we can, you know, keep our numbers under control is when we will kind of think about resuming, getting even closer to what we thought was normal before COVID-19. However, I think there are some great lessons learned, and I think some of these behaviors that we have now, I hopefully stick even when COVID-19 is a vaccine preventable disease, because there's still other infections out there that make people sick that can cause epidemics like influenza. So hopefully when people are sick, even after we have a COVID vaccine, that they will stay away from other people, that people won't come to work sick, and that people will have access to paid sick leave if they are sick, and so they won't infect other people that they work with. And then, you know, make sure that, everybody when they're out will have an opportunity to have access to be able to wash their hands with running water and soap or a good hand sanitizer with a high concentration of disinfectant or alcohol. And, you know, we hope that we will, when we go out to restaurants, that we all won't be packed in. So the person, you know, sitting behind you at another table who is hacking, won't get you sick when you walk out of the restaurant. So, I mean, hopefully many of those behaviors, you know, will persist and be our new normal after this COVID-19 epidemic declines.
And Dr. Burstyn, you guys have some great websites with a lot of information, tips, and resources. Can you give those out?
Sure. Our website is erie.gov/COVID-19. We have a lot of great information. Also, the New York State Department of Health has some great information on COVID-19. So you just go to their website and there is a link on there. And then the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention also has a lot of great information on their COVID-19 website. And then again, just remember for folks, we have good access to testing in our community now for COVID-19. And so if you believe you were a contact of somebody with COVID-19, or if you have sick, if your symptoms are consistent with COVID-19, you know, you can get tested. And there are many places where people can get tested in the community. And I just want to point out a new, super cool place to get tested that has really expanded their testing in the city of Buffalo is that Kaleida has a new East Side location, at the Leroy R. Coles Jr. Library at 1187 East Delavan Avenue in Buffalo. And now they're open on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 9 to 5. Also, many of our great primary care provider partners are federally qualified health centers, like the Community Health Center of Buffalo, Jericho Road, Neighborhood Community Health Center. They are all also offering testing at at their offices. The same type of drive-through testing that that other locales are offering. And then we also at the Erie County Health Department are offering free COVID-19 testing. So remember, that's looking for an active infection. It's picking up the DNA of a virus. So if you're shedding virus because you have an active infection and you get one of these COVID-19, what we call PCR tests, it's a swab test looking for active virus particles. That's something that tells you that you have an active case of COVID-19. You have an active infection. Whereas the antibody test is what that will tell you is that you have been exposed to COVID-19 and infected, whether you knew it or not, sometime in the past, and that your body has mounted an antibody response that is able to be detected by this test. So it doesn't mean that you have an infection now. It doesn't mean that, and it also doesn't mean that you're immune. We can't say that with confidence at all, because we really can't say that if you have antibodies to COVID-19 that you will never have another COVID-19 infection. We cannot say that. So all we can say is that you've been infected in the past and your body has mounted a detectable antibody response. So, people have to be very careful with interpreting what those tests mean. And I know that there are a lot of tests on the market now, advertised on the internet and maybe from some other venues that perhaps are not FDA approved. And so that means that people are at risk of getting tested by a bad test that will give you bad results that is really a waste of your money and time. So you want to make sure that you get a good COVID-19 antibody test. And, it's your right to ask, is this test, has it been approved by the FDA? And, some of these companies are really tricky, and they'll say, oh, yeah, we're authorized to sell by the FDA. So that only means that the FDA said that they can sell their product. It doesn't mean that the FDA approved them to test people. So you have to be really careful about that and making sure that you get a test that is FDA approved, not just FDA authorized to sell. Because if you're going to spend the money to get a test, you might as well get a good test that'll give you good information.
Thank you so much, Dr. Burstein, for continuing to keep us informed and to educate us on the coronavirus and COVID-19. And thank you to your whole entire staff at the Erie County Department of Health. We appreciate you.
Yeah, well, thank you. You asked some great questions.